agreed to come. Joan, little did I know what kind of wedding it would be. All I knew was that they had met a Swami and were taking Sanskrit from him, as well as attending a small storefront temple on 2nd Avenue. When I met the Swami, he was sitting beside the window in his front room, bathed in sunlight, surrounded by pots of prasadam, which he was distributing to the devotees who were sitting around him against the wall. I was a follower of macrobiotics, and not so easy for taking this noon, and not so eager for taking this noonday meal. When I entered the room, the Swami said, "Who is this?" And Mukunda said, "This is Janaki's sister, Joan. She has come from Oregon to attend the wedding." Swamiji said, "Oh, where is Oregon?" Mukunda said, "It's 3,000 miles away, on the other side of the United States." And he asked, "Oh, coming from so far, very nice. And when will the other members of the family arrive?" Then I said, "I'm the only one who's coming for the wedding, Swamiji." He said, "Never mind. It's very nice that you have come. Please sit down and take some Krishna Prasada." So, Srila Prabhupada introducing Krishna conscious Vedic culture to a very non-Vedic situation. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the Western world, when Prabhupada came to the Western world, he knew he was introducing something very foreign to them. But still, he didn't compromise or anything of that sort. He presented Krishna consciousness as it is. I imagine you've all heard the story how when Srila Prabhupada had just first arrived, this is now a bit later, after a year or something like that, but when Srila Prabhupada first arrived and he was just starting preaching and there were no followers, there was no organization, it was, as they say, a one-man show. It was Srila Prabhupada. He was the founder acharya, the temple president, the head cook, and the only cook, and the head pujari, and the sankirtan leader, and the temple commander, and the GBC, and maybe the cleaner also. But it was really, it was all Srila Prabhupada. So, when Srila Prabhupada just really first arrived, then it was really, he was coming in, just the sole representative of Vedic culture and Krishna consciousness, into a very, very foreign environment. And when Srila Prabhupada first started preaching, he met one yoga teacher named Dr. Mishra. They were talking, they're both, Dr. Mishra was also born in India. And Dr. Mishra had already been in America for some time. And he had sort of adapted his presentation to the American Western culture. And not only that, but he himself had adopted parts of the Western culture. So he told Srila Prabhupada that here in America you can't just present Krishna consciousness, Vedic culture, Indian culture as it is. You have to modify it in terms of the cultural environment here. Otherwise people will not accept. So he said, you can't teach them like the regulative principles. No meat, fish or eggs, onions, garlic, no illicit sex life, no intoxication, including tea and coffee, no gambling. Can't do that. They will not accept. You will not be successful. You will fail. And that will be the end of your efforts in America. If you fail, then what can you do? So he told Srila Prabhupada, what you must do, you must allow them to do these things and give them a little Krishna consciousness. And he told Srila Prabhupada, you must be a yogi by day and a bogi by night. During the day you can teach some yoga, but at night you have to allow them and encourage them to be bogies, to eat meat and take intoxication, and don't make an issue of it. But Prabhupada, when he came, he presented Krishna consciousness as it is, and he didn't compromise the principles. Of course he applied Yukta Vairagya, but still not at the expense of the essential standards and those things which really make a difference. Initially, he did not emphasize the four regulative principles so much, just like we see here. Effectively, he is introducing the standard of no illicit sex life. They are living together. You could say, effectively as husband and wife, that is their way of life. But they are not married. And they were not thinking of getting married. They didn't feel it was really necessary. So now, Srila Prabhupada, well, the day before, they were just initiated. And only now, Prabhupada is bringing up, well, perhaps it would be a good idea to get married. In his book, Miracle on Second Avenue, Mukunda Maharaj, he discusses this whole situation in much more depth. How they ended up getting married and how they didn't want to get married. But in the end they said, oh, well, and they got married. Another time, Srila Prabhupada was walking along to 2nd Avenue and he passed by one, you could say, sort of takeaway type shop where they sell chips, fish and chips, and burgers, and Hare Krishna, things like that. And he just, as he's looking up, walking along the street, just, you know, as you walk along a street, you tend to look this way, that way sometimes. He just looked into that shop. There were some of the devotees, some of the young people attending his temple inside there. eating those things. And he saw them and they saw him. And they waved to him. It wasn't like terrible embarrassment at all, because they were not really aware of these things. So they waved to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada sort of acknowledged them. And later on, that day when they met back at the temple, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't chastise them, but what are you doing eating things like that? Not at all. Prabhupada said, you know, I saw you there in that shop, and you know, we as Vaishnavas and devotees, we don't eat those things. And they said, oh, really? Is that right? And so then they started now avoiding eating those things. So Srila Prabhupada, though, his mission was not to just water things down to get a bigger following. Because if you do that, you will get a bigger following. If you water things down, then many people who are sort of attracted to some degree, but they're not able to maintain or don't want to maintain higher standards, then they'll feel, oh yes, and so they'll then get into it and become members, and at least on paper you'll have more followers, but in essence you will have lost, not gained, because we stand on the foundation of our integrity to ourselves, to actually maintain the standards ourselves, to the process, to the people in general, if we're going to present ourselves as representatives, at least we have to maintain the standards. So Srila Prabhupada, he did that. And he did not allow any nonsense. He knew very clearly, you allow these things in and then it brings everything down and everything becomes polluted, and when everything is polluted it will not work, people will not progress, and everything will just become materialistic in due course. And so today is the disappearance day of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. They all left this world on the same day, this very same day, but in different years. Not actually on the actual same day, but the same calendar day, but in different years, on the Sikadasi. So it's significant. It's very significant. The last Sikadasi before Kartik. And some devotees, of course, they actually begin Kartik on the Sikadasi. It is the practice in some quarters at least. So like this Srila Prabhupada maintaining the standards as they are and not allowing them to become diluted, maintaining Krishna consciousness as it is, Srila Prabhupada was completely, authentically maintaining the same standards as Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Yes, his authenticity is the same. It is not that just because it is Kali Yuga, it is more Kali Yuga and dealing more with the Kali Yuga situation, that Prabhupada is something less, Srila Prabhupada is also great, great Acharya. Great, great Acharya. Great, great representative and ultimately associate of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Radha and Krishna. And just the right representative of these three great devotees. These three great devotees, as we said, they all left this world on the same day. And as is the practice with very elevated devotees, when they passed away, their bodies were buried whole. They were not cremated. But then the Muslims really began more strongly, at least, their onslaught against Vedic culture, Hindu culture. And they began this practice of digging up the bodies of anybody, really, who had, when they passed away, their bodies had been buried, and the bodies had not been cremated, which in so many cases particularly meant great devotees, because otherwise the general practice was and is that everybody's body is cremated. So they started this practice of digging up those bodies and then breaking them up and just sort of throwing the pieces away, and because apparently it is a Muslim belief that if your body is cremated, then you can't go to heaven, something like this. But if your body is buried whole, then maybe you'll go to heaven. This we hear, at least, is some belief in Muslim circles. So they didn't want that, to suddenly find there in heaven are all these great devotees, along with them Muslims. So they would break up the bodies. So the devotees at that time, is just not long after these three great, great devotees left this world, the devotees themselves exhumed their bodies, brought them up out of the ground and cremated the bodies, and then took the ashes and buried the ashes. So we find at Radhakund Shavakund in the, I think it's Govindagat area, anyway, in between Radhakund and Shavakund, there are the three small samadhis there together, the three of them in one, just one small little building there, right in between the kunds, although maybe 100 meters away or something like that, is a big samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami in that Gopinath temple. And so half of his ashes there in that Gopinath temple where that big samadhi deity is, and half of his ashes are out there in that other little place where the three samadhis are. In the case of Raghunath Bhatta, half of his ashes are there where the three samadhis are in between the kunds. The other half of the ashes are in the garden of the 64 samadhis in Vrindavan town, the other half of the ashes of him, and as far as Shri Shri Radha Rasa Bihari Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Shri Kirigavatam Ki Jai. As far as I'm aware, all the ashes of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami are there in between the Kuns. So this is what happened there. Raghunatha Das Goswami, his biographical details are given more extensively in Chaitanya Charitamrita and some other Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, but particularly Chaitanya Charitamrita, his earlier years, they're given there. There's mention, of course, of both Raghunatha Bhatta and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, but not so much. Raghunatha Das, he was the son of a very wealthy person in the, they were like business kayasta type community, landholders and like that. And they're very wealthy. But at a relatively early age, Raghunatha Das Goswami heard about Lord Chaitanya and became very inspired. And he developed an interest in just leaving his opulent family situation and just joining Lord Chaitanya and just becoming, as they say, a full-time devotee. Sort of moving into the temple. His parents were not happy with that idea. So they did something which even today parents sometimes do if their son wants to join the temple and become a Hare Krishna devotee full time. They got him married. Get him married. Anchor him down, nail him down, and then we've got him. That's what they thought. So, but he was really inspired. He was really inspired. And he met Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him, no, you stay home. Krishna will arrange. Lord Chaitanya put it to him like that. Krishna will arrange that your desire is fulfilled in due course. So Lord Chaitanya told him, don't be a crazy fellow. Don't be a crazy fellow. Just stay home. But Raghunatha Das, he was not very interested in doing that. So Lord Chaitanya instructed him in a particular way. Lord Chaitanya told Raghunatha Das Goswami, you must become like a married woman who has a paramour, a boyfriend. There is another man in her life who she has become very attached to. You must become like that. Means that married woman who has a boyfriend, she will outwardly maintain her duties and her situation as an apparently faithful and dutiful wife, or externally doing everything very nicely, while internally she is thinking of her boyfriend, and that's really where her heart is, and that's really where she is, actually. But externally, she'll maintain the standards as a faithful housewife. Very nicely. Actually, not just in a normal way, but exceptionally nicely. So her husband does not suspect. Her husband rather thinks, what a wonderful wife I have. But it's a show. So Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das like that. And then told him, don't worry too much, just do like that. In due course, Krishna will make arrangements. Then, not so long afterwards, Lord Nityananda passed through the area there, and with a whole big group of devotees, and Raghunath Das, he came out to meet Lord Nityananda. So that is described at length in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the meeting of Raghunath Das with Lord Nityananda. Raghunath Das, feeling himself very unqualified, very lonely, and you know, not worthy of the intimate association of such an exalted person as Lord Nityananda and his other very great associates. So Raghunath Das, he stayed at some distance and offered his dandavats from some distance. So Lord Nityananda saw, and he told some associates, who's that offering a bait? Or actually, some associate told Lord Nityananda, look, you see who that is offering you obeisances from a distance? It's Raghunath Das. And Lord Nityananda immediately told his associates, bring him right now. Bring that rascal right now. And they brought Raghunath Das, and Lord Nityananda grabbed hold of him and said, what are you doing? You're not coming to me. You don't want to give me your association. Today I will punish you. You wanted to keep away from me. Today I will punish you. And he pushed Raghunath Das's head on the ground and put both his feet on Raghunath Das's head firmly and pushed down on Raghunath Das's head and told him, you thief, in this way I'm punishing you. So of course we might pray for such a punishment. How fortunate we would be. So then, Raghunath Das at that point, living at home, married, his wife was exceptionally beautiful and exceptionally qualified, and so his situation from the materialistic point of view was just practically optimum. Any materialistic young man would have hankered for that. Raghunath Das Goswami asked Lord Nityananda, can I serve you? What can I do to serve you? And Lord Nityananda ordered him, yes, organize a great festival here and now, and organize chipped rice and yogurt for everyone. I want everyone to feast on chipped rice and yogurt. So that's also described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Raghunath Das organized that big, big festival. Everyone was fed. Chipped rice mixed with yogurt, chipped rice mixed with condensed milk, and even different varieties. It was really a major event. And people came from all over. It wasn't just Lord Nityananda and his group. People came from all over. And even mystically, transcendentally, Lord Chaitanya came. And he also took part in that chipped rice and yogurt festival of Raghunath Das. So, Raghunath Das remained at home afterwards. But then, that his enthusiasm, his inspiration to get out of his material situation and just join Lord Chaitanya, it was growing and growing. And one day, by the arrangement of the Lord, a special situation arose to facilitate him. His guru, what was his name? Yadunandan Acharya. He was the family priest. Actually, he was a great devotee and an associate of Lord Chaitanya, not just like Kula Guru, some traditional family priest at all. He descended from the Loka Vrindavan with Lord Chaitanya. He's one of the eternal associates, but still, he's acting like family priest. So, as family priest, he was overseeing the worship of the family deities in the family temple. And one night, the disciple of his, who was meant to do the evening deity program, something happened to him, and he was not there. And Yadunandan Acharya needed another disciple to do the evening deity program. So now, when that evening deity program was done, nobody stayed around. It was just the priest, the devotee doing the pujari service, and the deities. Because Raghunath Das, his parents, because he had previously at least been so anxious to leave home and renounce everything, so his father had arranged that there were guards with him all the time in case he ran away. But now, because he had been following the advice of Lord Chaitanya and acting like a very dutiful householder, just according to that example of the housewife who has a boyfriend, Raghunath Das had been acting like a paka. Grihastha, come griha made him. Like he was just wholly and solely into the family business, his wife, and so on like that. So the guards were not being so careful. They were not with him 24 hours a day. So Raghunath Das, when Yadunandan Acharya came and told him, this is the situation, the pujari is not available, what can we do? Someone has to worship the deity. Raghunath Das said, don't worry, I'll do it. You can just relax. You go and take rest. I'll worship the deity, put the deities to rest, then I'll just go and take rest, don't worry. So Yadunandan Acharya agreed, and he went, and the guards went. So it was only Raghunath Das and the deities, He put the deities to rest and ran. He left home. And he just ran and ran and ran and ran and ran and ran to Jagannath Puri and joined Lord Chaitanya there. So he was personally under the care of Lord Chaitanya himself. And he's like assisting at least part of the group of devotees who are assisting Lord Chaitanya personally. Later, Lord Chaitanya put him under the care and supervision of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he became known as Swarupera Raghu. Swarupera Raghu. The Raghu of Swarup. Of Swarup Damodar. Swarupera. So, and he took direction from Swarup Damodar. This is after a little while. And if he had questions for Lord Chaitanya, he would put them to Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Swarup Damodar would ask Lord Chaitanya on his behalf. So, via Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya, what should my program be? And what should the program be of devotees who are in the renounced order of life? So Lord Chaitanya gave them very specific instructions. Don't wear opulent clothes. Don't eat opulent foods. Don't even think about the association of men with women. Don't even consider that for a moment. But rather within your heart, just deeply, deeply absorb yourself in the worship of Radha and Krishna. In simple terms, these were the instructions Lord Chaitanya gave him. So, up to that point, Raghunath Das Goswami, well, his parents had found out what had happened. And they didn't really try to get him to come back. But what they did, they would regularly send supplies from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. They would regularly send foodstuffs and so on and so forth to Raghunath Das. And he would accept those things, and particularly the foodstuffs, and he would cook them himself and then invite Lord Chaitanya and invite various other devotees. So on this basis, it was a regular program of Lord Chaitanya's, not every day, but regularly, maybe every other day, he would come and have prasad at lunch with Raghunath Das Goswami. But then Raghunath Das placed those questions via Swarup Damodar with the Lord, and Lord Chaitanya answered like that. So Raghunath Das Goswami, from that point, he started refusing what his parents were sending, and just sending the people, the messengers, and people bringing these things, just sending them back to Bengal. And he started adopting a much more austere way of life. And indeed, perhaps more than anyone else in our line, or particularly amongst the immediate followers and associates of Lord Chaitanya. Raghunath Das Goswami is perhaps the best known for his renunciation in Krishna consciousness, but his extreme renunciation. So it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that, first of all, he stopped accepting all that food, and what he did, he stood outside the door, the front entrance of the Jagannath temple, because there's a practice that, you know, poverty-stricken people and renunciates and people like that would stand outside the door, and the pilgrims, when they come out, would give some Jagannath prasad or give some something. And in this way, these people would live. So, Raghunath Das Goswami initially started doing that. And Lord Chaitanya, well, he found the invitations, which were normally, like practically every second day, the invitations from Raghunath Das Goswami stopped. So he asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, what happened? Why are we not getting invitations? And Swarup Damodar Goswami explained that Raghunath Das, when you gave these instructions, he decided to change his way of life. So he's refusing all those foodstuffs and everything, and he's now standing by the Singhadwara gate. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that's good. He appreciated it. After a little while, Raghunath Das Goswami, he thought that, no, here I am standing with the other beggars. It's sort of, you know, the place of the professional beggars. Everyone knows to come here. If you're going to give charity, come and give charity here. So this is not good. This is not good. Actually, Raghunath Das Goswami thought, I am prostituting myself. I'm prostituting myself. In the name of my renunciation, I'm collecting material things from people. So this is no good. So what Raghunath Das Goswami did then, he went to where any leftover prasadam, maybe from the previous day or from the cooking, sometimes things get stuck to the bottom of the pot and, you know, they're not so palatable like that. So they're thrown out. It's on the western side, I think, of the Jagannath temple. There's a particular place, from what I understand, from what I've seen, it's still there. They throw out all these things, and the cows come. And the cows eat whatever. All these, you could say, rejected types of foodstuffs. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he then went and he was just mixing in with the cows and just finding whatever eatables he could find and eating that. But then Raghunath Das Goswami thought, this is also not so good. I'm kind of competing to get eatables. It's not so good. So what he started doing was, after the cows had finished, and there was just what was left was what even the cows wouldn't touch, he would go there and find that and wash it and keep it. And then after a while, after he collected some, he would eat that. And he felt this is more appropriate. So around that time, Lord Chaitanya, he was checking with Swarup Damodar from time to time. What is Raghunath Das doing now? Oh, now he's eating with the cows. And what is Raghunath Das doing now? Oh, now he's not even eating with the cows, he's eating their remnants. So Lord Chaitanya decided, right, I'm going to go there. So there was Raghunath Das Goswami going through all this rejected food stuff. From the material point of view, it's really terrible. And picking things out and putting them on the side until he gathered a bit together. And suddenly, Lord Chaitanya was there. And he just started eating from that pile that Raghunath Das had built up. And he chastised Raghunath Das. He said, "You rascal, just look at what you're doing. You are feasting here and you're not inviting me. You're keeping all the nectar for yourself. What is this?" And Raghunath Das Goswami tried to stop him. Anyway, this is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm not sure how much time we have. Probably not much. Oh, okay. So let us just, yeah, conclude a bit by saying that after some time, Raghunath Das Goswami, with the permission of Lord Chaitanya, went to Vrindavan. And particularly, he took up residence at Radhakund. I mean, it is a long story, actually. All the many different things happened. But the Lord ordered him to excavate Radhakund Shamakund. Lord Chaitanya had discovered Radhakund Shamakund before, and he ordered Raghunath Das to have them excavated and made like places of pilgrimage. So Raghunath Das Goswami did that. He had them excavated, and as I said, many things happened. He found those old Radha Krishna deities, which are there in that temple on the raised area of the western side of Radhakund. Those deities were located. They located the tongue of Govardhan Hill. He didn't want to take, well, he wouldn't take water from Radhakund or Shamakund, because they're, even though they're just ponds, just sort of little bodies of water just sitting there, but still he knew these are the most sacred places. So he wouldn't let the devotees use any of those waters for any personal use at all, bathing, washing clothes, etc. So what he did, he had some of the people who were doing the digging, he had them dig some distance away. At that stage it was some distance away to the east of Shamakund, at least, you know, 100 meters or so away. And so they're digging, and they hit one rock, bang, hard, and blood came out of the rock. And that night, Raghunath Das, in his dream, Govardhan Hill appeared to him and said, "That was my tongue. Take it out and worship it." And it's there. It's also near those three samadhis in the grounds of the Radha Govinda temple there, at in between Radhakund and Shamakund. So that happened. So many things happened. and Raghunath Das Goswami, he adopted a particular program, daily routine. He would every day chant one lakh, means plus or minus 60 rounds or something like that, approximately. So every day, one lakh. Every day, giving class about Lord Chaitanya, minimum 3 hours. Because he had been with Lord Chaitanya, and he had kept a record. So he knew many pastimes, and he knew so much about Lord Chaitanya. So every day, class for minimum 3 hours. Every day, obeisances to deities, minimum 1,000 times. And this actually means dandavats, not just, you know, down and out. And every day, obeisances to devotees 2,000 times. And if there was any time left, take rest for half an hour, eat something for a little, and bathe, etc. But oftentimes, there was no time for that. And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that his standard of renunciation in Krishna consciousness was so fixed, completely fixed. It was just like lines carved in rock. And you must know, if somehow you can carve a line in rock, that is permanent. You won't come back later and find it changed shape. So he's extremely austere. But in Krishna consciousness, and let me just close by mentioning one little anecdote, which is there in Bhakti Ratnakara, that because he was so austere and not eating every day, and even when he did eat, it was just a little cup of buttermilk. So he became very thin and actually very weak physically, like really skinny. And when he became older, because he lived to be 99, he lived to a very old age. So he was extremely frail. So there's a description that one day a group of devotees was moving around Radhakund Shamakund, visiting the little, because you know the place was becoming established, so there were some little temples there. So they're visiting the temple. They came to one of the temples, and what should they see? There is Raghunath Das Goswami on the ground offering dandavats in front of the deities. So that group of devotees, they also offered their obeisances. And then they stood up. And then they noticed Raghunath Das is still lying there. Maybe he's just doing like some extended dandavats. But then they realized that he was lying there because he was unable to stand up. He was physically unable to get his body up. So they picked him up. They picked him up. And they told him that you don't need to do this. You're such a great devotee. You don't need to inconvenience yourself. You might hurt yourself, you know, going right down on the ground and trying to get up. You don't need to do it. Just stand there in front of the deity, offer pranams. Krishna will understand. And Raghunath Das, he said, yes, okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate your concern so much. And off they went. The next day, that same group of devotees came around. And at the same temple, they came in for darshan. What did they find? There's Raghunath Das Goswami just lying on the ground again, unable to stand up. So very amazing devotee. And actually there are many more things we could say, but these are some nice things about the activities of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Hare Krishna. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami ki. Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami ki. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.